853. Dan to lead our fine sports, go to our classes. 853. God
is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He's so good to me. He cares for me. He cares for me. He cares for me. He's so good to me.
Father, we come to you on this Sunday morning, Lord, today. We're thankful we all have this opportunity that we're able to be here, Father. We anticipate these classes as we're about to break. Father, we pray that each of us is well prepared for them, and we'll have a ready and able mind that we'll be able to absorb the things that are going to be presented to us. We might be able to use them in our daily lives, use them to strengthen our relationship with you. Father, I pray you'll be with our teachers in this hour, and you'll give them a good recollection of the material that they have prepared, that all things that we do and say in these classes are in accordance with your will, that ultimately we might be able to come better and more faithful servants of yours. I pray all these things in your son's name at this time. Amen.
Amen.
We have a good class this morning, despite that I counted in my head at least 15 were going to be absent today. There may be others. We're in Romans, the 5th chapter. It's like there's more coming in. It's like the chapter I've been wanting to talk about. Now, water gone. It happens. That's just the way it happens. But I'm not going to not talk about it. But this Romans chapter 5, boy, you guys have been hearing me talk about this for the last couple of months. Why have I been talking about Romans chapter 5? I've given the illustration a million times. Why does Romans chapter 5 ring a bell? Because, what did I do in the past with somebody? Yes, had that public debate on depravity. Guys, I see a bunch of you with pens in your hands already. This is a chapter you really need to have a pen handy to circle some things. Because you don't have to write a lot. It's just that you're going to see within this chapter how it explains itself that Calvinism is wrong. That you hear people say you're born in sin. Because of Adam, you're born in sin. This chapter talks about Adam. This is the chapter they want to go to. But I will show you. You will see it. I don't even have to show it to you. You can just read. You're going to see carefully that it explains from this chapter that we do not inherit the sin of Adam. So you're kidding me. No, I'm not. But this is the chapter they turned to. Yes, it is. Because it mentions Adam. But if you just read it carefully and notice what it says, you're fine. The problem is that people have had with this is they've already been told you're born in sin. So when they read the chapter, they're going, wow, that can't mean that, because we're born in sin. So, well, no, it does mean what it says, because we're not born in sin. This is a danger you get into when you have a preconceived idea before you go into the Word. You never want to do that, okay? So please keep that in mind when we go through this, that this is the chapter that people teach you are born in sin. You inherit, okay, the sin of Adam. That's what they want you to believe. That's the false doctrine that this chapter, people seem to think, supports. We already covered the part of this chapter that doesn't deal with this. And we did that last week. We covered 1 through 11 in Romans chapter 5. And I asked you to start in verse 12. And I said, now read this. Your assignment was just to read it through, but notice at verse 13 through the end of verse 17 that, like Paul often does in his writing, is where he interjects a thought. And if you want to know really the main thought, so you don't get sidetracked, you read verse 12 and then you move down to verse 18. Finish the chapter. But what he says in between is very important. Remember, guys, he does talk about Adam in here. Who else is he going to talk about? Obviously, he's going to talk about Christ. Okay? These two. Two main characters that he's talking about. In verses 1 through 11, who did he focus on?
Christ.
Okay, that is the great thing. God demonstrated his love towards us. He sent his son. It's all about Jesus. Remember the first 4 chapters. Why are you going back under the old one? We're under the new. And now, he's going to magnify talking about Christ. He's not going to be talking about the fact of where sin comes from in this chapter. He's going to be talking about the consequences of sin. That's really his focus. What's the consequences of sin? Now, the first verse we're going to read is verse 12. Kevin. Just read verse 12, first of all.
Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, the death through sin, and in this way, death came to all men, because all sin.
All right. That is the verse that they love to quote. All right? So, sin entered the world through Adam. True or false?
True.
I get that. He comes right out and says that. Just as through one man, sin entered the world, and death through sin. Our major discussion right now, and this is crucial, is what death is he talking about? Okay? What death is under consideration? You only have 2 choices. What are they?
Spiritual
or a physical death. Those are your only 2 choices, okay? We have to figure out which one it is. Now, I'll tell you which one it isn't right off the bat. Which one is it?
Physical.
Physical. He's not talking about physical death. Now, the only way you can know that is through context. How do you know he's not talking about physical death? He says,
it's because of all of sin.
That's the key part of this whole verse. Thus, death spread. Death spread to all men. Okay. Oh, well, because we all physically die. Well, wait a second. Do we all physically die because of sin?
No.
Physically?
No.
No. But we all die spiritually because of sin. Get that. It's going to bear witness to this as we go on, especially because what he does in the parentheses here that we're going to focus on, because he talks about Adam. And of course, people are saying that, well, you know, I've inherited the sin of Adam. That's why I sin today, and so it's going to be the same as Adam. And you're going to notice in this chapter he says, no, our sin is different.
I know this is extremely petty, but why isn't it not the sin of Eve? She's actually the first sinner.
Exactly. He is talking, that's why, Trey, I mentioned a moment ago, he wasn't as much focusing on the origin of sin as the fact is that people sin. And of course, so he's just talking in general terms for his audience sake, talking about what happened back in the garden, you know. Sin entered the world through one man. Well, it was Eve. Well, okay, but the point That's why he's not talking about the origin per se, as the fact that, there is sin in the world. And, go ahead, Nancy.
Isn't he kind of comparing the men, the sin of Adam as a man of Christ as a man?
Well, you might want to, that might be brought up, but I think really the focus is not so much the fact of, we have to bring up the fact that sin came into the world and Jesus is the solution for sin. Okay, that's the main focus. And when people lose sight of that, and that's why they come up with this idea, you know, inheriting the sin of Adam. You know, Trey, I brought that up before. Really, if you're going to talk about inheriting sin, wouldn't it have been Eve? Well, see, you're losing the focus here. You know, that's when they want to create a doctrine. Now, and that's a good point. But here it is that Paul is trying to make the point for them. They understood what happened back in the garden. Sin came into the world. The death because of that sin. And people are saying, well, Chuck, this is why we've inherited the sin of Adam, because we all die physically. Folks, how come you die physically? Okay, but I want you to answer me why that has to happen. Well, even before that, I'm wanting you to go back to the garden. And why do you die physically? Why did Adam and Eve die physically?
There it is.
They didn't have access to the tree of life. If you can't eat that, you're going to die. How come you're going to die? Same thing. You don't have access to the tree of life. You can't live physically forever. That's it. That's how come you die, folks. You grow old and die. Now, how come you die spiritually? The verse just told us that. What he said. Thus death spread to all men. Just ask why. Because of all sin. The death that he's talking about right now, right here, the death, is spiritual. And you have to see that. Okay? If we don't see that, we're going to miss the rest of what he's talking about here. This passage isn't teaching us that you're born in sin. It's not telling you that you inherited the sin of Adam. He's actually describing here of why you die spiritually is because of your sins. Okay? Now what we're going to do here, just for a moment, I don't want to go in and explain all 18 through 21, but I want to skip over the parenthesis part from 13 through 17 just for a moment. Samantha, would you please read 18 and 19 and Trey finish the chapter? I'm going to come back and explain a little bit more, but I want to keep the thought through here. Go ahead.
Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous.
Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Okay. Now I'm tempted to get bogged down here and do a lot of explaining, but I just want to make a quick point and then we're going to go back to 13 through 17. Just to show you that the things that we're going to explain in just a few moments, I just want you to just to toss aside the idea that we're talking about something that is physical and that we inherit sin because of what he said. And did you notice this verse? Verse 19. For by one man's disobedience, who's that? That's who's under discussion. For by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Oh, made sinners. Question. Is that conditional or unconditional? Are you made a sinner conditionally or unconditionally?
By our own choice.
What do you call that? Conditional. It has to be conditional. If you say unconditionally, which is what they want to promote, you're born in sin, you don't have a say in the matter, it's unconditional, that's just the way it is. No. I'm a sinner conditioned upon me sinning. It's not unconditional. Now the verse will prove this. He said, for by one man's disobedience many were made sinners. If that's unconditional, look at the next part. So also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. So to be consistent, if I made a sinner, then I'm made righteous unconditionally. Guess what? Everybody's going to heaven. So is it conditional or unconditional that you're going to heaven? It's conditional, folks. There's the consistency point. So we know that he's not talking about the fact that we're born in sin. Now, here's what's the great thing about this. Verse 13 and 14. This is the passage. This is what was put up on the screen when the guy wanted to defend it. I'm sitting there with my jaw down because I'm saying, you just put up a passage that's actually going to tell everybody in the audience that we're not born in sin. The next two verses, Tony, let's read verse 13 and 14.
For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who have not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come.
Thank you very much. All right. Adam. Moses. Now, why have we brought up Moses in the last few chapters? Here we go. Thank you. Because of the law. You know, the Ten Commandments we refer to. Which they wanted to go back under. We're on this side of the cross when this letter to the Romans was written. And you're trying to bind these Christians upon laws that you find over here under this old law. Now what does he introduce? He introduces this time period. He says, there was sin in the world even before Moses. Now how can you have, what do you need to exist? What has to exist for there to be sin? You have to have law. Whoa, these Jewish Christians are going to go, what do you mean? The law of Moses wasn't only the law that ever existed? No. There was law before that. People sinned before Moses came along. You need to understand that. And of course, that's what we're going to be talking about, the importance of Jesus coming, not just for people here, but even for people back here. Now, I want you to tell me, and I'm not going to point it, you tell me where verse 14 comes right out and says, you did not inherit the sin of Adam. Verse 14 says, Nancy?
Well, it says even those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression.
Whoa. So there are people here in this time period that sin, okay, they sin not like the sin of Adam. There's a different sin. Yeah, that's right. It's different. Hey, if you're going to tell me that if I'm born in sin, then it's that same transgression that just keeps passing from one generation to the next. If my dad robbed a bank, I'm guilty of committing a robbery too. If I'm just going to inherit the guilt, that's their wording, not mine. Okay, that's not mine. I told this to some of you haven't heard this, most of you have, but I've got it at home. During that debate, he's the one, this gentleman, Mr. Hoogstein, he got up and said, I never said anybody inherits the guilt of Adam. And he says that when he first gets up after I spoke. He said, I never said that. Because I replied to him. He went first, I went, and then he got back up and said, I never said you inherit the guilt of Adam. So he started preaching his point, and he gets into Romans chapter 5, and he gets going, and then he says, and that's why we inherit the guilt of. And he stops. It's on the tape. He stops. And everybody focused there. It's exactly what he teaches. That's their point. They have to say that. He says, I didn't. And then he came right out and literally said it. That's why we inherit the guilt of Adam. It's different. We inherit the sin of Adam. What did these people do? I just read it in the verse. These people sinned. Unlike the sin of Adam, but the point is they sinned. And the reason they sinned, because there was law. Don't lose sight of the big picture here. You know, I wish that we could just go through this whole teaching and never have even brought up the subject of depravity, never even brought up the subject of being born in sin. Because you kind of lose sight of the whole purpose of Paul writing. Paul wasn't writing this to dispute depravity. He was just trying to get people to understand here. Under the old law, you're trying to get people to go back under it? Why don't you try to get people to go back over here? Well, you don't do any of that. And Christ came because of sin that always existed. It entered the world, And I've got to tell you, when did the plan of Christ start to unfold? When he sinned. That's when it started. As soon as you have one transgression, is he going to be able to do anything to make it right? Not at all. And so because of that, that opened the door. Temptation was rampant. People understood the difference between the right and wrong. People think that, well, I think it was a good thing. There's a religious group that actually think it's a good thing that Adam and Eve ate the fruit, by the way. They think it was a good thing. Because what did God say if you ate the fruit, what would happen? Well, he said, what was it? But what did the fruit do?
Taking knowledge
of good and evil. Stay away from that. Well, isn't that a good thing? Don't you want to know good and evil? People say, yeah, that sounds kind of good. No. You parents know this point. You know this point, right? You want your children to stay innocent, don't you? As long as they can. You try to shelter them. You don't want them to understand the ignorant, filthy innuendos. You know, it's pretty sad when you go to somebody's house. I can remember as a teenager, you're going to somebody's house, and there's a little kid, and there's a sitcom, and they implied something very bad, and the kid actually got it. You're like, oh, man, that's just sad. And that's why we try to shelter our kids. You say, oh, they're missing out. Don't you want to see all the good and bad that's out there? Are you kidding me? Innocence. And that's what happened when they ate the fruit. All of a sudden, the innocence gone. And so don't let anybody ever tell you that it was good that they ate the fruit. It's not a good thing. And so you can see from verse 14, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. Who's that? Christ. Adam's kind of like a type of him who was to come. I got to keep Christ before you here, before us. Okay? That's the focus. You're going to help these brethren over here focus on Christ. Right? Now, we stopped reading, so let's finish out this 15, 16, and 17. So three verses. Mark Nevins, please, start in verse 15, please.
For the free gift is not like transgression. For if by the transgression of the one the many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many. The gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, for on the one hand, the judgment arose from one transgression, resulting in condemnation. But on the other hand, the free gift arose from many transgressions, resulting in justification. For if by the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of the grace and of the gift of the righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ.
There it is. Adam, it took one for condemnation, but it continued to abound. So in other words, Adam, the one, but then he talked about Christ sacrificing for the many offenses, the many transgressions. And that's what I kept stressing when I had that public discussion. What is sin? What is it? What is it? That's the consequence. But what is sin? 1 John 3:4. It is the breaking. It's the transgression of God's law. It's an action. You cannot inherit an action, folks. You have to break God's law. Now, you can use it. You can sin passively. I understand it. You can just sit there and do nothing. You can think the wrong thing. But the point is, you have to commit a transgression. And that's what he's talking about here, the offenses. Not just the offense of one. He died because of that transgression, but he talked about the offenses that abounded, the many, between here and there. How many? And then, of course, the transgressions after that. You talk about how grace abounded. Wow, this sounds familiar. Chapter 6, verse 1 says, what shall we say then? shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? You see what Paul's doing here? You need to understand this great sacrifice. Oh, so you're telling me because of all these bad things, you know, the grace of God is magnified that much more. Yes, it is. Well, then let's just sin some more. No. You just need to understand the fact that sin is bad, but Christ came so that we remove sin. It's all about him. And of course, that's the sixth chapter. You know, putting off the old man, putting on the new man, becoming the child of God. Right?
I guess, though, I mean, the whole sin is conditional. Yes, everybody chooses to sin, but everybody has to sin at some point in their life. Or it doesn't fulfill that verse that says, because all sin.
Because all have sinned.
And in the future, will sin. All people are going to have to sin because they have to have the blood of Christ to save them.
It's your phrase. It's your phrase.
Rephrase it.
Okay, yeah. Because if you say you have to sin, you have to sin. There's a difference between you will sin.
Okay, you will.
Okay, and you have to sin. Now, I want to talk about this. This is very important because this is the discussion I get up. Because that's why they talk about depravity, because they say you're born depraved, you have to sin because you're born depraved. You have this inward desire to break God's law, is what they want to say. And what we're saying is, look, no, what happens is God made you good. Did you get that? Everybody was made good. Everybody was made just like Adam and Eve prior to their transgression. You're innocent. What happens? Trey's pointing this out. Eventually, you make the wrong choice. How do I know you don't have to sin? Think about this, guy. How do you know you don't have to sin?
Because we were made in the likeness of Jesus and he was perfect.
Okay, and keep going with that. How do you know that you don't have to sin?
Well, because he lived a sinless life.
Right. And so what happens when you sin?
So
you're punished, right? So if you have to sin, should you be punished?
Right. Because they're making it sin. So
yeah, yeah. You know, if somebody put a gun in my hand, and they're stronger than me, you know, you get somebody like Tony, a couple of those guys, and they put the gun in there, and they actually pull the trigger, are they going to charge me? No. If somebody makes me do something, takes my arm and hits, you know, the fact that we have punishment tells me that it's my fault. It's your fault. That's the problem we have in the denominational realm. Came out of it. That's why Calvinism was conceived, guys. I told you, Augustine and was one who started before Calvin. His problem was he was raised in a religious group. His dad was a Presbyterian, one of those ministers. He leaves, goes off, falls away, comes back, and wants to come up with a reason why he fell away. And the reason he came up with is because I had to. I was born depraved. People always want to make excuses for this. And brethren, we as Christians can fall into the same trap. Well, who's perfect? I hear this all the time. Well, who's perfect? I didn't say I was perfect. But I'm saying that when I sin, I deserve to be separated from God because it was my choice. I was only tempted. Everybody will be tempted, Trey. And everybody will give in to temptation. As he talks about the flesh is weak. That's why he sent his son. That's by grace. Okay, and he keeps bringing that word up. By grace. It's not because, now, if I had to sin, then it's not grace anymore. Because it wasn't my fault. Yes, it's your fault. That's why it's a gift. It's something that you didn't earn. And so understanding the difference between I will sin and I have to sin is huge within this whole discussion. You guys, feel free to jump in and talk about this to work through your thought process, because we need to make sure we understand this. That's why we're held accountable for our transgressions. Your sins have separated you between you and your God. You broke God's law. Now you have all these teachings in the New Testament about, you know, you need to repent of those things. You need to turn away from those things. Oh, no, I can't turn away from this. I have to sin. No. Not at all. And that's why you have so many warnings given within the Word of God and people that have fallen away. And you say, you need to come back to cover a multitude of sin. Go ahead. I read you. Do you look like you were going to say something?
Well, I guess I was just kind of when you ride horses all of your life, it's not that you have to fall off. It's when you fall. Because you will. You will fall. If you ride horses every day, you will fall off. And so I guess, but you don't have to.
Well,
but you will.
I will introduce this, since we're on this subject, this is very important, is that people have gone to extremes now. And brethren have known, and it's caused division. But they'll say, knowing that this is true, this concept is that you should be able to live sinlessly. I actually know a guy that believes in it. That you should be able to never, ever sin. Because you obviously have the choice not to, so you should never sin, so you can be sinlessly perfect. And your response? Yeah, but once you become a Christian, he's saying once you become a Christian, you never sin again.
Oh,
yeah. How do you know that? We need a passage. No, you're showing me where you can fall away, but he's saying, well, yeah, okay, people fall away, but you can stay faithful and never sin again. You can never sin again. What's your response?
Revelation 6 on restoring others.
He'll acknowledge the fact that people can fall away, Dan. He's just saying that there are people who fall away and there are people who can never sin again. What's your response?
You say you have no sin. I don't know the verse. You say you have no sin and you're a liar.
The truth's not with him. That's it, because John was writing to Christians in 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. He comes right up and says, if anyone says they have no sin, they're a liar and the truth's not within them. Now, does that mean we don't strive for perfection? Well, of course not. You know, because that very passage that Keith is talking about, if you say you have no sin, you're a liar and the truth's not within you, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins if you confess them. Then he goes into chapter 2 and verse 1. He says, now I write these things to you that you sin not. You don't have permission. I'm just go out there and do whatever you want. You have no permission. I write these things that you sin not. You will. It's wrong. You say, well, how can I not then? If I'm going to. If people will play games with words, right? Okay. Well, then you're saying I have to sin. I'm not saying you have to sin. I'm saying you will sin. What's the difference in your mind, guys? Let me get your thoughts on this. How would you explain the difference between will and have?
One's a choice. That you will sin, you have that choice. You have to, you don't have a choice.
That's it. And that's what Calvinism is all about. TJ.
I was just going to say, I don't have to go home and watch football, but I will.
Good point. And that's what she's saying. It's a choice. Everything is a choice. That's what we're talking about, sin. Sin is giving into temptation. You can either resist the temptation or give into the temptation. And that's what sin is. You're giving into the desires that are there. And God understands that. It happened with Adam, and it's happened with everybody since then. And that's why he sent his son. It wasn't the idea that, well, let's not unfold the plan yet, because maybe there'll be people up there who will never sin. And then if Jesus comes, they don't need him, and then they can boast because they've earned their salvation. I'm not going to send my son because maybe there's a chance that people will never sin. No. Well, then people will. Everybody will. And not only that, you know, and don't lose your thought, Courtney, as I've often told people, what kind of conditions existed in the garden? Perfect, right? Perfect. And they sinned under the best of conditions. What are our conditions compared? Are you kidding me? It's everywhere. The temptations are a lot more than just, well, look at the fruit. There's a lot more than that. You got jealousy, envy, and hatred. You've got the prejudice that's out there, all the lures of the flesh that's out there, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. A lot, I can't even say it because it's the nth degree, but a lot less than what Adam and Eve were facing. And they still gave it. And so I'm saying, if they're going to sin under the best, how easy is it for us under the worst? And I'm not going to say it's the worst, but in comparison. And so it's very easy. And how easy is it to sin?
It is so, so easy to transgress. And so we have to work hard. And that's the point. If you look at this, I don't know, with our study today, you're going with this Wilson. It's like, oh, great, Chuck. Now what do I do? Here it is. Turn to Christ. Turn to Christ. Follow Christ. Try to be like Christ, and you'll make it. So what do you mean? Well, if you follow him, you put on that old, we're going to get next chapter. You put off the old man, you put on the new man, and then you, when you fall, you get back up. You repent of those things, because in Christ is the forgiveness of sin. You just can't pray for forgiveness of sin on this side of the cross, or this side of salvation, in other words, the water and baptized, okay? But over here, you just can't pray for forgiveness of sin, but over here you can, through Christ. The blood continues to help you after you're a Christian. All that the baptism did was what? What did baptism do? Yes, and what? It only took care of what? It only took care of your past sins. That's it. So from that point on, you still need the blood of Christ through the forgiveness of sin. You need to be in Christ. Courtney, I know we forgot your thought. You need to get back up. That's good.
No, I didn't forget it. Okay. We will. We don't have to. It's not going to be a surprise to us when, like, where'd that come from? I mean, we make the choice to sin. And just like to Trey's point with the horse, you know, you ride your horse every day. Well, my temptation, where I might fall on a daily ride, may be different than where Kevin does, or Chelsea does, or TJ does. So you're more on guard at that part of your ride than maybe others would be. So maybe one day you'll get a victory that you didn't fall where you fell last time.
And that's where God comes in and says, look, are you trying? Have you learned from your mistake before? You repented of it. Okay, fine. So you were out at night. It was 1 o'clock in the morning. You're down in an alley. I'm taking an Old Testament passage. You're down in an alley where the ladies of the evening are, and you're a married person. What are you doing there? You shouldn't even have been there. Well, I don't know how it happened. You don't know how it happened? Are you crazy? You're not learning, are you? And so the whole point is of repentance, which is the key to this. This is not our study right now. But repentance is to turn about. And so you make the proper application so you sin less. I know I'm not sinless. But I'm telling you something. I'm not using Christ in my life if I'm sinning more. I am to sin less, to be more Christ-like, and making those necessary changes. I know, okay, I sinned and I repented of it. Chuck, did you learn how you got to that point in the first place? Yes. Okay, so now you take the necessary precautions, like you're talking about. So you fell off your horse, like Trey talks about. I got news for you. You're not a very good rider if you start falling off more and more and more, the more you ride. Somebody would say, you're not learning how to ride then. If you keep falling off more, if you fall off less, you're learning, you're growing. Okay? And for all of us with our jobs, you make mistakes on the job, right? But I'll tell you, you're not keeping your job if you make more mistakes the longer you're there. It should be less as you learn. Is anybody getting this? Okay.
Or if you make the same mistakes.
And you can make the same mistake because, as Courtney brought up, it might come up in a different way next time. And you've got to learn that because you let your guard down. We talk about that in my sermon this morning. You let your guard down in this area, boom. Okay? And you get strong. And then another area. And so this, you're constantly learning. And that's why we as Christians, that's why we're here today. And we study and we feed on the Word of God because Satan is constantly working at us. Dan?
Separate question if you're...
Yep.
Okay.
I am.
Verse 14, I'm hung up on the beginning of that.
Okay.
Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses. That's something he would be saying to his specific audience, right?
Correct.
There was sin back there, too, because couldn't we also say that there was sin reigning from Moses to Christ?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Exactly. See, the fact is that death did reign. And what kind of death was that again? Be consistent? It's a spiritual death. The spiritual death existed from Adam to Moses. And, of course, from Moses to the cross. But they're putting, where was their emphasis? Man, I'm telling you, this is where it was really difficult, and that's why I love what Paul's doing here. I don't know if anybody by inspiration, it's not him. But the Lord really knew what he was doing here, trying to clear up this misunderstanding of the Jewish Christians being favored. You know, you keep going back to this. And the problem with you is you're not seeing the whole picture of mankind. You're not seeing the big picture of sin and its consequences and how that death reigned. And I'm glad you brought that up. Just because he said death reigned from Adam to Moses doesn't mean that death did not reign from Moses to you or from Moses to us. Death continues to reign. Is anybody not getting this? I mean, because I really don't want this you to leave with more questions in your head. But this is a passage, and when somebody says, when you're talking with your Calvinistic friends, and they say, well, let's just go to Romans chapter 5, I want you to get a big smile on your face and say, let's go. Okay, and let's just read it, because it will explain it itself. You didn't have to need commentaries. You didn't have to get your Greek out. It just explained it.
But we did have to use a lot of, we in the class used a lot of other parts of the Bible to help us understand it. We don't know, like, the purpose of the old law or that there was, that Adam wasn't under that. That's not going to help.
That's why you went back to chapter 1. Now, that's why I always tell people, you know, you want to go into chapter 5, you better back up on this because it does explain it. You're right. But Paul approached this, you have to know your audience. Let's know where they're at. You're true. You're right about that. It's a true statement because he's talking to people who are already Christians and reminding them where they've come from. We've introduced some different things. What we've had, we went back and talked about what sin is by definition. We would hope that they would already know that. But if you're studying with somebody, you may need to make sure that you define your terms. What's he talking about here? Because you will lose them. Any other thoughts? I don't think we covered all the verses that Mark read. We start in verse 15. How are we doing? If the free gift is not like the offense, but the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to many. I would compare 15, parallel 15 through 19. It was conditional. Okay. Not unconditionally. You're not made a sinner unconditionally. You're made a sinner upon the condition of you sinning. That's why verse 12 is the key. For all have sinned. And that helps us when we get into chapter 6 and verse 23. Okay. And then 16, and the gift is not like that which came through the one which sinned. It's not like that which Adam brought. For the judgments which came from the one offense resulted in condemnation. One offense. And that's what I was trying to stress to you before. The grace abounded because there were many offenses. Many offenses. All the sins. Okay, it's not Adam. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation, but the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. Now, Lori.
So, when they say we're born in sin, are they saying that we have the same sin as Adam? Or are they just saying we will sin because Adam sinned? Because I honestly don't have the opportunity to choose whether or not to eat from that tree, so I can't have his sin. And I mean, but if they're saying that he will sin because he sinned. I'm confused.
Well,
I don't sin
because I'm sinning.
Okay.
I just want you to see that's what they want to do, and that's why we try to narrow them down and trying to say. Well, remember he said I didn't say. Remember the guy said I don't. I'm not saying you inherit the guilt of Adam. Yes, you are. You're saying that I inherit. I'm born depraved. I am born in a lost state. Which is kind of interesting because then they turn around and say, but God has made special provisions for babies. How about just saying that babies aren't born in sin and everything's fine? You know, but the point is they're saying, but babies are okay, but you're telling me they're born depraved anyway. It's so inconsistent, Mallory. And so, but you did make a statement there, which is really important for us to clarify. Why do we sin? You know, sometimes brethren get this wrong. Sometimes brethren just say, well, I sin because Adam. That's why I sin today. It's his fault that I sin today. Not his fault. It's your fault.
But all the temptation, there was, as you said, one temptation. Had he overcame that, there would there still be all these
temptations? Well, there were other temptations. There were other laws before they even sinned. Can we think of any? They were given law before they took the fruit.
They had to till the soil, they had to keep the garden.
That's what they were told to do. All right? And so there were laws for them to keep prior to that. So there were other temptations, Mallory. Okay? Yeah, there's more today than there were back then, we might say. But there's still that lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, pride of life. Go ahead.
Wasn't that kind of like, you know, Adam showed his disobedience, showing that we can also be disobedient. You know, because he was a man, he broke one law. And therefore, it's just showing he did it. We have that chance. There is that chance that we will also do it.
Right. And he actually says it's 100%, which you're talking about. There's 100% chance because God said, you know, all, you know, have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What we're discussing is, how does that happen? How does anybody sin? How do you sin? And it's simple. James described it. How sin comes about. And so you give in to temptation just like Adam and Eve gave in to temptation. They broke God's law. Here's my question I've raised in the debate. Remember, guys, this is crucial. This is going to answer whatever we just brought up. Here's my question. Why did Adam and Eve sin? Remember, I sinned. Mallory, and I'm not picking on you, Mal, because we got to think this through. Well, I sinned because Adam sinned. That has to be because why I sinned. Great. Now tell me why Adam and Eve sinned. Were they born in sin?
No.
Were they born depraved?
No.
Okay. Did they have to sin?
No.
You see? That's my point. And so I'm saying today with me. I tried to get them in and they never answered it in the debate. I said, just get up here and please tell us why Adam and Eve sinned, how they sinned. And then I'm going to get up and tell you, that's how come we did too. It's a perfect parallel, guys. Get that. It's perfect.
But, I mean, you know, because they always say that we're born in sin. But if that were the case, then Christ would not have been perfect. He would have been born in sin.
Yeah. Of course, they have that little provision for that one too. We have raised that. That's a good one. For consistency's sake. Josh?
Yeah, I mean, like I'm thinking about you said on how easy it is to sin. I mean, because like a baby, I mean, two babies, you can see the jealousy with them, two babies at a small age. The people nowadays try to come up with the age of when Jesus did, when you account on sin.
That's it. I mean, I've actually had a family tell me that when their little baby was crying and got them up at night, they're sinning. I said, are you kidding me? But yeah, you can have... But as they grow older, John, the question is, when does somebody become accountable? That's it. You know, you just, there's just so much we could talk about on that, but I mean, the fact is to remove that sin, it's all about Jesus Christ here, and to repent and confess, and a baby can't even believe. And so when you get to that age, we can understand. So keep in mind those couple of points. You know, you want to ask, well, how did Adam and Eve sin? They weren't born to pray. Okay. Well, we sin the very same way. No. We sin because they sin. No way. It doesn't fit. It's not biblical. It's just not there. Yes, we will sin. But the reason we sin is because of why Adam and Eve sin. Okay. It's as simple as that. And this passage does not support it. It actually refutes it, and it's a great chapter to keep in mind. I have another minute. Let me just see if I can get through another verse here. 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned through one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. He's been saying through 13 through 17, pretty much repeating the same thing in a different way, that there's Adam, but Christ. Here's what he did. Here's what he did. Here's what happened because of him. Here's what happened because of him. And because of that, he sums it up, now getting to that latter part of the chapter. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. Why do I need to be justified? Because I'm at fault. If you need to be justified, if you're already justified, that means you have no fault. You have fault. You could say it was Adam's fault. It's not Adam's fault that I'm in sin. I'm accountable for my own. But let's not get bogged down. Again, it's because of Calvinism that we've lost sight of the whole wonderful story here, trying to tell these brethren, you need to be focusing on Jesus here. Don't go back under the old law. It was all because of sin, right? And the blood of bulls and goats couldn't take away sin. We're going to be talking more about that as this unfolds. But and then verse 19, I explained a little bit earlier about both being conditional. Then verse 20, moreover, the law entered that offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. How come the offense abounded with more law? If you have less rules in a football game, what are you going to have? Less penalties. It's just the way it is. But the more laws you have, there'll be more breaking of them. And that's what happened. We have a lot of laws. Somebody told me, I heard somebody say that, wow, I'm glad I was under the Old Testament with all those laws. What's under the New?
More laws.
A lot. You know, not only did Jesus say, it's wrong for you to commit adultery, that was under the Old Law. Now, I'm saying over here, yeah, it's wrong to commit adultery, but even if you lust after a person, to sit back and say that, man, it was a lot better back then. Well, there might have been a lot of tedious things that the priest had to go through, but I'll tell you, we're priests today. And there's a lot of things that we're accountable for. I can't believe I talked a little too much. Anyway, thank you guys. Appreciate your time. I penciled you in if it's okay. Can you check and see? I penciled you in for the Lord's Supper because we have 15 people away. Can you handle it?
I can do it.
Sure. You and James.
Oh,
he's going to help us.
Okay.